Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 173. Today, the Amateur Traveler goes to Nashville, and our guest will be a Nashville musician. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into today's interview, I do have two news stories for you. Before you ask, yes, it is a slow travel news week. The first one amused me. There's a new award that is going to be presented to the best restroom in America, and they're looking for your videos and your help spotting unusual public restrooms in hotels and those sort of places. And you can check out the site bestrestroom.com if you have one in mind. This is one of a series of things that I get sent to me. So the second one is really a place where I put a lot of these that I don't mention in the show. There's a surprising number of contests right now, people who are giving away things for travel photographs, people who are giving away, probably the most amazing one is someone is going to win $100,000 and 6 months on an island in the Great Barrier Reef. I'm taking all of those things that I get offers for and putting those on amateurtraveler.com/board. There is a contest area in the discussion boards. And if you spot something also that you think the community should know about, that's a great place for you to put it. I'd like to welcome the show Jeff Smith, who is coming to us from Nashville, Tennessee, to talk to us about Nashville, Tennessee. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris, thanks.
And for those of you who listened to the show for a while, that name might be familiar because I've mentioned on numerous occasions that Jeff actually wrote the Amateur Traveler theme song that goes at the beginning and the end of the show. And probably today I'll play the whole thing at the end just as a way of saluting to Jeff here. And we thank you for that also.
Oh, well, thanks for the chance to do it. I hope I drive everybody crazy every time you play it.
And I thought that since Nashville is such a music city, having somebody who both lives there and is a musician would just be a unique perspective on that city. How long have you been in Nashville?
We moved here when I was in seventh grade, so that was around 84, I guess. Went to junior high and high school here and then graduated and moved away in 91. So, and I moved literally all over the world. I am basically an amateur traveler myself. My wife and I and our daughter just moved back here about 2 years ago when the piano bar that I help run opened up our third location here in Nashville and thought, well, let's get back home. Mom and dad live here, brother, sister, aunts, uncles. This is basically my hometown. So it stems back to the early 80s, but I haven't been here since I left in the early 90s.
If I was to come visit you in Nashville, where would we go?
Oh, man.
And I don't want you to feel that you're committing yourself, that you're really going to do this when I go there. But
that question deserves many, many answers. I definitely think as a tourist, some stuff you have to see because of the rich musical history and American history here in Tennessee and in Nashville. Of course, Honky Tonk Row, which is South Broadway, which is right downtown Nashville, which is a street littered with bars of live music. It's exciting. You know, there's a lot of country music, obviously, here in Nashville. The piano bar that I run and am a player at called The Big Bang, we're also on that strip, thebigbangbar.com. So down on Honky Tonk Row, as some people call it, or just Lower Broadway, is where all of this live music is really concentrated. Obviously, the Grand Ole Opry Out at Opryland is something that people should check, whether or not you like country music. And of course, it's right next to the Opryland Hotel, which has got to be one of the most amazing sights to see. Indoor river, lots of cool things year-round to see. There's live music out there, too. You'll find a lot of live music here in Tennessee or in Nashville. Some of my favorite things to do outside of those touristy things would be running over to the Vanderbilt University area, real sort of hip, right off of what's called Hillsborough Village. There's lots of little knickknacks, little shops, little quirky coffee shops and things that I like. That's kind of my bag. And of course, there's lots of outdoor stuff to do. Hiking, Cheekwood, which is a really great museum and art gallery. The Parthenon, which is a complete replica of the Greek Parthenon in Centennial Park here in Nashville.
Hmm.
It was built around the time of the World's Fair. Don't quote me on what year it was. I'm sure it was the late 1800s, but they had all sorts of stuff, a pyramid and a sphinx and this thing. This thing lasted. It's kind of like that thing out in San Francisco, whatever that big...
The Palace of Fine Arts.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Really cheaply made. They renovated
right.
to make it last, and now indoors they got a lot of Greek antiquities inside. There is quite a lot of fine art and culture here in Nashville besides all the country music and or just rock music. I definitely like Percy Warner Park, bike trails, hiking trails. There's lakes nearby that you could really have a good time at. Just the main thing that really brought me back to Nashville was just how beautiful it is as far as if you like rolling green hills, if you like something that sort of looks like England, this is one of the places that really has a charm to it, unlike many southern cities. There's still quite a lot of old wealth here too, so you'll see a lot of old, probably antebellum mansions. Not the same as like Atlanta, but still quite a lot of land here. There's still quite a lot of greenery. There's not a shopping mall on every highway. It's actually quite hard to find shopping malls. Most of them are off just regular streets instead of the interstate, which, you know, I lived in Texas for 10 years. It's the complete opposite of Texas, where everything is off the highway. You're driving up and down the interstate. You just see stores and stuff. Here in Tennessee, it's just you're driving on the highway. You see trees and small mountains. It's just a sight to see. And the foliage during the fall is great.
And that's probably a question then is, when is the best time to go to Nashville? Are there particular events that one should come for, or should we go? I would assume that shoulder season, sort of spring and fall, would be better than going in the heat of summer.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a warm summer. I actually prefer humidity. I guess it, as a singer, I lived in Arizona for a while in the desert. Oh, it's a dry heat. Yeah, right. It's 120 degrees. It can get up to the upper 90s here. So it's a little muggy during the summer. Mm-hmm. But there's some really cool early summer. June is not so bad. Big CMA festival is giant. The red carpet rolls out. The Who's Who shows up here.
The CMA, that's the Christian
yeah.
music?
Country music
awards, okay.
Yeah, there's also the Dove Awards here. There's lots of music stuff going on here beyond country. I mean, mm-hmm. I play in a lot of alternative rock bands, and actually there's some of the best venues in town rival those of New York and L.A. And, well, let's face it, I mean, Nashville is one of the top three music towns.
And I don't know, Jeff, and I don't know if you can tell me, why Nashville? Why did so much music stuff end up in Nashville?
You know, it's funny. I was just recently out in San Francisco and I was talking to my friend like, well, I wonder why this became the hub of Silicon Valley. And my friend had this great answer for me. And then I, in turn, thought, you know what? I haven't given that much thought about why Nashville is the country music. So one thing I should have looked up, but it became that way. Probably early on, one of the really strong radio stations, WSM, from back in the like 20s and 30s, was one of the first places to – that's where the Grand Ole Opry broadcast out of the Ryman Auditorium, mm-hmm. which is another must-see right downtown about a block or just a corner off of Broadway is the famous Ryman Auditorium, which is an old church that became – the Grand Ole Opry, where they did the original Grand Ole Opry shows. It was broadcast on the radio, and that was a very hot show. It covered the complete region of the southeast of the U.S. So that probably really had a lot to do with why music was – obviously, there was a lot of great musical history here with bluegrass and mm-hmm. gospel. We're down here in the Bible Belt, so there's lots of churches and lots of gospel music. And that, of course, if you look at the history of where rock and roll and country kind of came from, it really is steeped in gospel music.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's probably one of the main reasons that, and it's kind of fun to play music.
Okay. And when we're in Nashville, what do we need to see? We talked about a little bit. And what do we need to eat to really experience Nashville?
One of the famous places here is the Loveless Cafe, which is your mm-hmm. typical down-home southern eating. And it's a little bit out off the beaten path. I live just literally about 5 minutes from the Loveless Cafe. It's out here in West Nashville. And it's tucked away in the hills. And it's just great. There's some little charm about it. It's a mom-and-pop thing that's just exploded into a citywide, probably a national sort of heritage. So if you want to go eat at a five-star steakhouse, there's that. You know, there's plenty of stuff that you'll find in any major city. But as far as stuff that you wouldn't find anywhere, the Loveless Cafe is one of them. Pancake Pantry is the other kind of famous thing, which I don't know why it became famous. To be honest, I sometimes discourage people because people started going there because that's where, you know, country music stars would end up eating breakfast. So the lines get really long there. But that's also down there in Hillsborough Village, which is a place to go. I guess it's kind of like going to In-N-Out Burger or something. If you don't have one in your area, you want to go and check it out and see what it is. And they're good pancakes.
What's one place that you see tourists go and you think, I don't know why you waste your time doing that, and another place that they miss?
Well, I hear people go into the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And my take on that is, and I've been there, and I've walked through it, I've actually played gigs there, and it is quite a big room. And if you are taking a trip to Mecca, or this is your trip to Sika, I guess that would probably be pretty impressive. I've never really, when I grew up here, and I didn't even know what country music was. So that just goes to show how really, no one really in Nashville really goes there. Typically, it is strictly a tourist place. I would recommend, if you had to go to one kind of music museum, I would skip the Country Music Hall of Fame and go to the Musicians Hall of Fame.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Which is just a couple blocks over. It's relatively new. And what it is it the same type of museum of famous guitars and studio equipment and posters and stuff like that that you find in a Hall of Fame. But of all of the musicians who have played on albums, not just country music. You know, you'll go in there and you'll see Ringo, whoever recorded in Nashville or whoever's a well-respected musician who is in the Musicians Hall of Fame. It's a great museum. It's a lot smaller. You can get through it without too much of a hassle. You'll find out a lot of interesting things that you didn't know. Like, oh, wow, the Motown, obviously Memphis is where a lot of soul music was recorded, but sure. A lot of the musicians were from Nashville. You'll find a lot of interesting stuff. So I would recommend that. And of course, I would skip Wave Country. It's a water park. Okay. I've seen people go there. It's out by Opryland. See, the interesting thing about Opryland is it used to be an amusement park, a theme park.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work for Opryland. I actually used to sing in the shows, and it was really cool. I was really disappointed when they closed it down. I think there was a time in the late 90s where Gaylord Entertainment, who owns, I don't know what it is, Opryland, decided that they wanted to get out of the theme park business. And so they sold all of their properties either to Six Flags or, in the case of Opryland in Nashville, they closed it and turned it into a giant Opry Mills. I don't even know what you call it. It's not even a mall. It's the size of a city. And it is interesting. I mean, it's I would never go shopping there. Unless I wanted to just walk into a giant version of the Gap. There are some interesting Gibson cafes up there, so you could see some live music. The main reason to go up to the Opryland area is to go to the Opryland Hotel, which I mentioned earlier. It's just this ornate hotel, like, you know, with indoor rivers and waterfalls and giant banquet halls. And the rooms are okay. I haven't been there since my honeymoon 9 years ago, so I don't know if they've gotten any better or worse. But you can go there and just park and go walk around and eat at the restaurants and.
Is it the sort of place where you should visit there and then stay someplace else?
Probably. I'd imagine the Opryland Hotel is not cheap. It definitely is known for lots of business conventions and things end up out there. As far as like where to stay, I mean, if you can afford it, I think it's worth the experience. It is Disney-esque in some ways where it's a little too clean. And, you know, and this is where my experience in hotels in Nashville might fall a little short because I don't ever stay in hotels. Although, if you're going to come to Nashville, there are the typical Hiltons and the Sheratons all downtown. The Hilton is the most centrally located to the live music venues and to, if you wanted just to be near the museums, Hall of Fame, if you're down here to be a tourist. There are a few boutique hotels that have opened up. The Hotel Indigo is pretty cool. I've had sushi there and hibachi. I've actually had a few business meetings out there, and I wanted to just stay there because it's one of those kind of boutique hotels that you'd see in the West Coast or something like that. So those are kind of cool things. If you're here for a long period of time, going back to the outdoor stuff, the parks and trails here are pretty exciting. Percy Warner Park is right in the Bellmead area. It's a place where you can go jog and where you can go. It's a bit like Central Park, New York,
okay,
but without all of the people selling stuff.
So you moved back to Nashville 2 years ago. After having seen a lot of the rest of the world, so you've got a real perspective on that. Now that you're there, what's the best day you've had? What's the perfect Nashville day?
Every day's good. You know, I can't complain. I really love the fall, and I love the spring is nice, although I sneeze a little bit. There's so much flowers here. So if you have allergies, you may want to pack some Claritin D or something in like April or something. A good day for me is when it's not too cold, it's not too hot, and I could go sit on my back deck and grill out. We have a great neighborhood. People are real friendly here in a genuine kind of friendly way. I love it when I get to go walk around places like Hillsborough Village or Franklin, which I guess we could talk about sort of side trips. And going down to where there's places you can sit outside and eat when the weather's not too shabby. And then, of course, I love, again, bringing up Percy Warner Park again. I love taking my daughter out there either with our bikes or just walking up. It really looks like I'm in England for that moment. And I've lived in England for a while, and I definitely will all hear the naysayers go, no, it's nothing like it. And really, it isn't. But there is this greenery that's so great, and there's a lot of very Celtic stone, the sort of old-timey stone fence that you've seen in Ireland, you know, where it's just stone stacked on top of each other. I don't ever really take the highway anywhere. Driving around here is really like a peaceful time for me. That's where I listen to most of my podcasts. I have to run errands. I hop in the car and I'm driving around these little one-lane roads to get to places. I'm still in the city, but it's like if I have to go visit my folks or, and they live about 20 minutes away in Franklin, I could just hop through these little side roads, wind around through the country, and I feel like I'm out in the country, but another 5 minutes and I'm right downtown Nashville.
And in terms of getting around, I'm assuming that if I'm coming there, I'm either bringing my car or renting a car. In terms of getting around, that's the best way. And we're talking about American cities, so.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Metro bus system, it probably works really good downtown. The downtown area is really booming, but it's no San Francisco. It's no New York. It's very small. Most of the stuff that you do, everything's really spread out. There's not one real central place where everything that you'd want to do, at least everything that I've talked about. So I would imagine, yeah, driving, or if you stay at the Opryland Hotel, they have certain shuttles that can take you to really interesting, or any hotel really, but I see a lot of like Opryland Hotel trolleys and buses coming downtown, dropping off people. They wander into our bar, and I've actually been down to Franklin where I'll see the bus dropping people off. Because Franklin, just to talk about Franklin for a second, it's like one of the number one small towns in the U.S. It looks like Mayberry. It's just really clean. It's nothing as hokey as Mayberry. I mean, it's actually, Franklin is quite an affluent suburb of Nashville. We'd like to live there one day. It's just a little bit above our means right now. I grew up in Franklin. There are still parts of Franklin that are normal like everywhere else. But most of the people who, once they settle down, they kind of end up getting a piece of land out in Franklin. And so there's a really nice little downtown area. It's lots of young couples are buying houses and rehabbing them. And so it's really nice down there. It's little ice cream shops, Main Street, the whole thing. There's some really great. Okay, now I know one of my favorite things in Nashville. In Franklin, around Christmas time, they do something called Dickens of a Christmas. And I'm an Anglophile. My mom's an English teacher. So really, and I love all things British. They block the streets off down in Franklin, which is basically one little street and a roundabout. They have all of the shop owners decorate their little shops, and they dress up as that kind of era, the Dickens character, the era. They have a guy dressed up as Scrooge walking around. They have wassail people playing Christmas songs and caroling, and it's great that time of year because it's just getting chilly. It doesn't tend to snow till, well, actually, it snowed today. Not a lot of snow, but it doesn't really snow till around February. So Christmas time is chilly and probably colder than what most other southern people would think of in the South. It is cold in Nashville, but that's a really wonderful time. The little cultural fairs that pop up here and there are really quite numerous.
You really know you're in Nashville when what?
Let's see. You really know you're in Nashville when you run into a celebrity. It happens quite a bit.
Okay.
My wife just ran into Nicole Kidman the other day. I ran into Carrie Underwood the other day. And, of course, John Rich, Big and Rich, Ben Folds. I mean, literally, I've run into more celebrities here than I ever did when I worked in L.A. And everyone's really cool. I mean, that's the thing about Nashville is that I've pretty much run into people that I either think are big stars or that I know through being in the music industry. Mm-hmm. But they're just kind of all over the place, hanging out at a Starbucks. Everyone's a musician. Another great thing to say is, you know you're in Nashville when someone says, hey, I'm a writer. Do you want to co-write? Or, hey, here's my demo. That's another thing that happens all the time. So everyone's a writer here. Everyone's a songwriter. Everyone's trying to do something. Everyone's trying to make a deal. And there's some people that have bigger dreams than they should. But you know you're in Nashville when someone hands you their demo tape.
All right. You've been to my hometown. You've been to San Jose or out this way by San Francisco. If I'm going to come to Nashville, what's going to surprise me?
What's going to surprise you? You could be surprised how many Southern California transplants there are here.
How about this? So you went away for years. When you came back, even though you were from there, what was one thing you had to go, oh, that's right. In Nashville, we...
Yeah, well, in Nashville, everyone is very polite. Some of it is sort of faux polite. The neighbors are looking out for each other. When I left Nashville, I was graduated high school. I couldn't wait to get out. There wasn't really a lot. The music scene was very entrenched in basically three areas, country, contemporary Christian, and a little bit of this kind of underground rock thing. Mm-hmm. Now, when I have come back, it is where everybody lives. People want to live here because it's such a great, easy city to live in. It's affordable. When I moved away from Nashville, I thought that I needed to be somewhere a bit cooler. It didn't seem really that cool. And of course, I guess that's what all teenagers kind of think.
Sure, right. All teenage boys, at least, yeah.
Yeah, and I was always been into music, and I was really never into what people would think Nashville is, which is country music. I have a history in the Christian music scene. My dad is a Christian writer, and my uncle's a minister, and I've done a lot of those sort of children's productions, the kids, mm-hmm. kids plays on tapes that they use at youth groups and stuff. So I did a lot of that kind of voiceover stuff here, but there wasn't a lot of like where I was really into like jazz and classical music and theater and stuff. That kind of vibe, I didn't think that was going on at the time. So when I moved off, went to college in Boston and moved to Europe and moved to Texas and got some seriously different culture there. When I came back to Nashville, and even before I came back to Nashville, I noticed that people were coming here. They were gravitating here because of how easy it is to live. It's affordable, yet there's a huge community of really smart thinkers, musicians who are just really want to do something creative. And it seems more so now than it ever was. And I just, for the first time, I think ever, I felt like I know where I want to be, you know where home is. That's how I feel Nashville is now.
Okay. One day recently where you really just felt, thank God I live in Nashville.
When I think back to some of the other cities I've lived in, you know, I used to live in St. Louis, not knocking it. It's a beautiful city. It's a lot of history there. But we lived in the city in St. Louis, and I just am glad I don't hear guns and that kind of stuff anymore. When I look out and I see the autumn, it rivals the Midwest, in my opinion, as far mm-hmm. as just like, wow, this is gorgeous. And it's October, and I'm outside. It's good to be here in the hills. I love the hills. I love the way it's looking. Of course, I'm always going to say thank God I live in Nashville because I'm always running into really cool people to work on music with. This is one of the cities to live in as a musician. And of the three that I've spent a lot of time in, which is New York and LA and Nashville, I'm this type of town. I'm a laid back kind of guy. Although I love to move around, you can always hop on a plane and go out to LA. I love to come back and be nestled up in my little end of the cul-de-sac, top of the hill part of the town that I live in.
If you had to summarize Nashville, last question, in three words, what three words would you use?
Pretty dang cool. it's just all right. Or no, I think safe, exciting, and lots of future. That's more than three words. But there seems to be a lot moving on here. I don't think with the economy kind of hitting everybody, I still feel that Nashville is not a super huge overvalued city. Mm-hmm. Land is still okay. People are level-headed. I mean, it is a very diverse town. Everyone kind of all pulls together. So I think there's a lot of promise in this town. Strangely enough, the tech community is growing here, which is, as a musician who's also mm-hmm. involved in the tech community, it's kind of cool. The fact that Griffin is here is one of the big major players.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, they're based out of here. Hmm. I would say just a lot of promise in this town.
Excellent. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show. If you're looking to learn more about Jeff or hear some of Jeff's music, thejeffsmith.com, where Jeff is G-E-O-F-F, and Smith is the normal way. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thanks very much. It's very cool to finally be on one of the shows that I wrote the song for.
And we'll play out again the episode with the full version of the song as Jeff wrote it. I guess I've got some lyrics in there, too. I can claim a little credit for it. But
absolutely, right.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Sadly, after I've already recorded the news segment for this show, there was news this morning of a plane crash in the U.S. with Continental Airlines with fatalities that killed 40 people. And that's significant because that's actually the first fatal plane crash in the U.S. in 2 years. Car crashes, to compare, did go down to a low level, lowest level in 40 years last year also, but that was 40,000 people. So just remember, to and from the airport is when you really need to pay attention. I don't know if you can hear the rain that is falling as I record the ending of this show, but that does remind me that this show will be coming out on Saturday the 14th, and then I'll have another show coming out on Saturday the 21st. I am planning on taking off February 28th, 2009, for those of you who are listening far in the future, because I will be down in Mexico, both in Mexico City and then later on in Oaxaca, which actually I have shows coming up on both of those destinations, one that will play before I go and one that will play after. If you're down in that area, let me know. Maybe we can meet up. I received a letter from Lee this week, and poor Lee has been listening to me talk about the iTunes enhanced version of this show, which also plays on iPods and shows pictures for the various things that we're talking about. And he had an iPod Nano, one of the newer generation ones, and had no pictures. Well, he figured out what his problem was, and in case anybody else is having that problem, you need to make sure that the checkbox in the music tab that says Display Album Artwork on your iPod is checked. If you have that checked, you may discover, as Lee did, that a couple different podcasts he listens to were actually enhanced, and so pictures showed up not just in The Amateur Traveler, but on at least one other show. And finally, I heard from Richard from Sacramento, who commented about the latest Amateur Traveler video, which is about Liverpool, England, and specifically about the Beatles' Magic Mystery Tour. And he says, the latest video on the Beatles tour is by far the best I've seen in several ways. One, I noticed that you used some software to create titles and such. Two, the quality of the video is by far the best I've seen in your site. You will recall that I mentioned the quality of the video about a year ago. He did mention it, not in a good way, we'd have to say. Three, the 6 minutes seem much longer, a plus, and that the subject was very well done in both video and in the story. And four, I got to feel sorry for the lady and her daughter who kept trying to stay out of the way of the video. So I should comment that I have made some changes to the video edition. They've been coming for a while. I've been trying to use up some of the older video, and the newer video is shot with a high-def camera, so it is better video, and all the video going forward should be that way. I'm using iMovie 09, which is why it has titles and such, and that does make it a plus. It's longer mainly because I just had more video on this particular subject, and that lady and their daughter who are trying to get out of the way of the video, that's my wife and daughter, and yes, they were trying to get out of the way of the video. With that, we'll bring this episode of The Amateur Traveler to a close. If you have any comments, feel free to send me an email or leave a comment at amateurtraveler.com. My email is host@amateurtraveler.com. And again, let me know if you happen to be down in Mexico City or Oaxaca here at the end of February in 2009. As always, thanks so much for listening. And remember, stay tuned. We're going to hear this time the entire theme song for The Amateur Traveler. I got my bags packed and on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo. Oh no. 15-hour flight.